No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with our corporate lawyer, Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Jets dropping a 4-2 decision at the hands of the Boston Bruins, a game that the Jets certainly were in position to earn a point in late in the contest, but they are unable to do so. They give up a late power play goal and then an empty netter, and it's 4-2 Boston, victorious on the road. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Friday evening. I hope your beers are cold and your spirits are high.
Yeah, guys, I was just doing a tax audit in the neighborhood, and I thought I would just pop into the post-game show here. So thanks for having me on. I'm wearing the only dress shirt that I own. Drew knows that I only travel with one dress shirt. Please see Drew's wedding in Kentucky in 2012. Yeah, guys, where do we start in this game? A very bizarre game, right? Like, Dave and I were obviously, you know, at Canada Life Center tonight for the first couple periods. Then we came back here to River Heights. And, you know, it kind of started with the Oilers penalty shot, right? Like, early in the first period, right? Like, it's Friday night. This is a huge must-win game for the Jets, trying to, you know, close the gap between themselves and the second wild card spot. And, you know, the Oilers penalty shot was just very un-Oilers-like, right? Like, you're used to seeing so much speed, and, you know, there just wasn't that speed there. And Linus Allmark really kind of just stood there, and it just hit him, right? Like, it was just, I think Oilers was, you know, trying to fool him a little bit, maybe changing up the speed a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to talk about this game and not start off with that second period, right? Like, it worked out okay a few nights ago, guys, against the Tampa Bay Lightning, where the Jets didn't have a shot in the first period. We all know what happened, you know, after the Bronx cheer and everything like that, right? They scored 7 goals after that. But I mean, tonight was a game that was really just inexplicable, right? Like, you know, there were shots just missing the net. Like, and the Jets had some, you know, they were in scoring positions. You know, Mark Scheifele stands out in the slot. Josh Morrissey came in and ripped a shot. Obviously, Kyle Connor, like, Morrissey, we'll get into after, because I mean, the officiating again, and I hate to, you know, start off with the officiating here, Drew, but I mean, I'm with Morrissey there. Like, Charlie Coyle slew foots him there. That's a penalty. And I realize you could argue that, you know, the game's already over at that point, and the empty net goal kind of just, you know, sealed the fate. But, you know, DeMello was also slew-footed. I forget who got him on the slew foot. Like, the fans, I know there was a play before that the fans didn't like. But to me, the officiating was just like, I didn't know what they were going to call. Like, it just seemed like some of the calls on the Jets, I thought the call on Logan Stanley for interference was weak. Obviously, the Brendan Dillon delay a game, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. But just overall, I mean, the Jets really only had half of a good period here tonight, boys, and that's just not going to cut it. Even if the Bruins don't have Patrice Bergeron, this Bruins team is still, you know, very good. They might end up being a one and done, but they're a very solid team. That's right.
They're professionals. I mean, that's what they are, Dave M. And I mean, the Bruins are not going, even without Patrice Bergeron, and I mean, it certainly looked like they were going to be without David Pastrnak for the rest of the game after he awkwardly, you know, stuck out his leg and then left in the first period. He came back and he was obviously effective and fine for the other 40 minutes. The Bruins are a professional team that knows how to win. And that's what you saw tonight. I thought you saw them. I mean, they gave up the 2 goals in the third period. Obviously, it was a 2-2 game, but they find a way. You give them another, you know, you give them too many chances, and they're eventually going to capitalize. And that is, I think, the Jets, the story of the game is, I mean, really the story of this Jets season. The Jets can't capitalize when they are given opportunities, and the Bruins are able to capitalize on theirs. I mean, you talk about the Nikolaj Ehlers penalty shot attempt. I mean, that comes, you know, 4 minutes into the game. You know, does the tenor, and the Jets had played well for the first, you know, 5-8 minutes of this game. I thought they were skating. There was a good pace. They had a couple of those opportunities when Linus Allmark, the Bruins goalie, had dropped his stick and he didn't have a stick and he had to play without that. And the Jets got a couple opportunities there. And there was some goal mouth, you know, some goal mouth chances and some noise around him there. But Ehlers' attempt here is just odd. I mean, he looked like a guy who doesn't have any confidence on a penalty shot situation.
And it almost seemed, Drew, sorry, I was just going to say, I mentioned to this day to Dave up in the press box, it almost seemed like Ehlers switched what he was trying to do midway through that attempt, right? Like, because he doesn't come, to me, Ehlers, like something that, you know, you could easily see Ehlers doing is just, you know, doing the old, like, come in with a burst of speed, slow down, and then, you know, shoot the puck. That's what you see, you know, some of the greatest players in the league do, right? Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby. Like, it looks easy for them because they're so fast, and then they end up just, you know, putting the puck, you know, between the goalie's legs. The goalie's
on his heels at that point.
Exactly.
And there's more room to shoot and everything.
You know, yeah. Drew, you always, I mean, the penalty shot, what do coaches and what do players always say, right? Like, you want to force the goalie. You want to you want to make them, like, either, you know, move the wrong way or whatever. Make exactly. You want to make them commit. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. So, yeah, I agree. It wasn't, I mean, look, I mean, Ehlers missing the penalty shot isn't the reason why the Jets lost. But if they score there, we know how important the first goal is. Exactly. So, yeah, it was just one of those missed opportunities for Ehlers.
That's exactly what it was. Dave M., you were obviously at the game high above the ice surface with Ezzy there doing taxes. What were your thoughts on, you know, especially we're going to get into all the goals as we always do, courtesy of our friends at Betway. But, the second period for the Winnipeg Jets, you know, I found it sort of funny because I don't know if you guys watched Kevin Cheveldayoff during the first intermission with Sarah Orlesky. But
no, we were too busy eating popcorn, Drew.
Drew, we certainly were not.
I know you. I know. And you didn't miss much, as you might imagine.
I will say I did hear him use the word. I caught it. I was as he was nowhere to be found because he was looking for popcorn. And I was sitting here by myself. So I quickly put my phone, the end of the interview with Sarah, to my phone, to my ear, sorry, so I could hear a bit in the press box. And it was certainly not very interesting.
No, he never says anything interesting, and this is, of course,
And what's Chevy going to say? We're going to trade Andrew Copp tomorrow? Well, like,
no, but he's talking about being a buyer. He's talking about, you know, maybe being a seller, you know, maybe being a seller and being a buyer, and maybe they're going to look for bringing somebody in, and then, you know, they're looking for a winger to supplement the other winger. I mean, whatever his gibberish, as he usually talks in circles, and everybody nods and smiles. But I find it ironic that, you know, that happened in the first intermission. And it's a 0-0 game after the first period. And then the Jets come out with that second period where they get outshot 22-4. They get outscored 2-0. And it's an embarrassing period on home ice for the Winnipeg Jets in a must-win game against your opponent, the Bruins, who, you know, they want to win the game clearly, but it's not a crucial game for them. They're already going to be in the playoffs. You know, it's just a matter of where they're going to finish position wise in the standings. But I hear Chevy after 20 minutes in the intermission talking about how we might be a buyer. And I'm thinking myself, you're going to be a buyer? Have you watched your team for this second period? You shouldn't be buying anything. There's nothing to be buying. What are you buying for? What's the best case scenario?
It goes back.
First of all, they can't even be buyers, right?
Well, you have to be. They're up against the salary cap.
That's what I mean. So you have to be a buyer and a seller.
Yeah, well, doing both. You know, like trading Copp. You know, if you read between the lines, there, he's talking about trading Copp and then maybe bringing in some in a separate deal using either a prospect or a draft pick or whatever to bring in somebody. Sort of, I think, on term with some term to them to maybe, I don't know necessarily to replace Copp, but to supplement the loss of Copp or whatever it might be. I mean, this would not, I think that this was probably Andrew Copp's last game as a member of the Winnipeg Jets, even if he's not traded till Monday. I bet they hold him out on Sunday against the Chicago Blackhawks.
And very you know, Jets-like, for the record.
And I wanted to mention this. Like, I realized, you know, for tomorrow morning, Saturday show, like, we're going to have Scotty Billick on. We're going to have Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff on. And we're going to get more into the trade deadline. But, you know, you brought up Chevy's interview with Sarah. And I just, like, can we not just say, like, is a team going to make moves? Like, why does it have to, like, again, I'm going on a bit of a tangent here. But, like, to me, your traditional seller is the Montreal Canadiens, like a team that's out of it, the Seattle Kraken, this whole idea of you could be a buyer, you could be a seller, you could have an own rental, you could have like getting a player back from an injury is like a trade deadline acquisition of your own player. It's like, No, like, let's just talk about what moves, like, just keep it at moves. This whole notion of buyer seller is so stupid because it, like, and again, I mean, we're no different than anybody else because we use these terms as well. But like, to me, the Jets are really neither. Like, if the Jets move Andrew Kopp, they're not a seller. Like, to me, a team is a seller, Dave, if they make a bunch of moves. Like, Montreal is the example that I would use, right? You know, they already traded Ben Chiarot. They might trade Arturi Lehkonen. You hear like Jeff Petrie's name is out there, right? And so to me, it's like, if a team is making a bunch of moves because they're not a very good team and they're stockpiling draft picks, that's a seller. So I just wanted to get that in there. I think that, you know, it's just overblown. And we should just talk about what moves teams are going to make. And the Jets will probably only make, you know, one or two moves. Andrew Kopp would be the big one. But this whole notion of, you know, it doesn't make any sense. You can't be a buyer and a seller. That literally doesn't make any sense.
Ezzy, the Barflies wants to trade you, Kopp, Heinola, and a couple of pizzas for Moritz Seider. So
I'm not sure the Red Wings are going to make that deal. I got to tell you. I don't think that they're necessarily on board with
the fact that my name is just being included with NHL players is an honor, and pizza as well.
Yeah. Normally it's, you know, get that guy away from these NHL players. So in this case, it's a nice change. In any event, let's get into the game. Let's get into the goals, courtesy of our friends at Betway. Of course, March Madness going on. So if you want to make a little bet there, you can use our friends at Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. We mentioned the Oilers failed a penalty shot, or unsuccessful penalty shot, to make it more accurate. Brad Marchand opens the scoring at the 4:42 mark of the first period, assist to Jake DeBrusque and Studnicka, who's of course in the lineup for Patrice Bergeron, who's out of the lineup for the Bruins. He's injured. And this is just an incredible play by Jake DeBrusque, a guy that has had some linkage to the Winnipeg Jets, potentially as the return in an Andrew Kopp trade. It's a 2-on-1 situation, and DeBrusque makes a world-class play to set up Brad Marchand.
Yeah. I mean, first off, before we, you know, get to the actual goal, it was a great individual play by Jake DeBrusque, obviously, because it looked like he wasn't going to be able to get the puck over to Marchand. But it's unfortunate for Brendan Dillon, Drew, because, you know, DeBrusque tries to chip the puck past him, and he actually keeps it in. And then, unfortunately, the puck comes back out, and he just doesn't have any forward support. And that's obviously why, you know, it leads to the odd man rush. It was almost like a 2.5 on one. And DeBrusque, his totals this year have just taken off, playing with Brad Marchand, because you remember he was kind of buried on the third or fourth line.
Well,
you
know, he'd asked for a trade from the Bruins earlier this year.
And you wonder, like, you know, is he maybe going to stick around? If I'm the Bruins, I'm keeping him the way he's been playing lately. But yeah, just, you know, ends up being a 2-on-1. Neil Pionk is the defenseman back. He goes down, you know, and isn't able to intercept the pass. And just a really nice individual play, as I mentioned, by DeBrusque on one knee. Mm-hmm. You know, gets the puck over to Brad Marchand, and Marchand has an easy tap in into the empty net.
Yeah, the world-class play by Jake DeBrusque here. I mean, I think it's Neil Pionk is the defenseman who's back on the 2-on-1 situation there, Dave. And I think Pionk, you know, did a pretty good job in making it a difficult pass, you know, the one that, to try and, you know, prevent this from being an opportunity. It's just DeBrusque made a better play than Pionk did, and as it happened, Brad Marchand's not going to miss that opportunity.
No, I mean, I think that a lot of people were saying maybe there might be a trade in game and just have DeBrusque and Kopp trade jerseys perhaps, and see if that works out. Maybe if the NHL, their legal department would be working overtime to get that deal done during the intermission. But I mean, there's a lot of interesting conversations happening, and DeBrusque is certainly an interesting player. I'm going to try and use as many Chevyisms as I can on today's show, but you know, look, it was a nice goal, and a lot of Bruins fans in the building. People were cheering Brad Marchand. As you and I were joking, he said it felt a little bit like a home game for Boston, but you know, that tends to make the atmosphere better. So I'm all for it. I know people don't like when there's visiting fans in the building, but
you pay for a ticket, Dave, you can wear whatever jersey you want.
That's right, exactly. So maybe one day
we'll have to. And as you, what's your excuse? You didn't pay for a ticket, yet you're still wearing that shirt.
Just hey, the Drew.
I at have least one not, shirt, Drew. I don't I have any say, options. My at only
least
shirt.
It's, at least it's not his tuxedo T-shirt. So I mean, that's that one's been retired. Now maybe one day 15,000 people will be wearing illegal curve jerseys, but for now the mix and match is not bad because it does create a fun atmosphere and. You know, you hear it cheering and it gets the people booing. So,
I was going to say, like, if anybody's surprised by that, you haven't been watching the Bruins and Jets in Winnipeg because it's the same Bruins fans, right? Like, it's not like, you know, this hasn't been happening. Like, there's a lot of Bruins fans everywhere. They're a popular team. We always say this, the original six, right? Habs, you know, Leafs, you know, Rangers, I guess, but
I would say Habs have the most fans. Chicago also does very well. With the obvious Winnipeg connections or Manitoba connections, but although I guess Thunder Bay is close enough that we'll call that a Winnipeg, a Manitoba connection as well. And so you have the Chicago always as well, but I would say Montreal is probably the number one in terms of visiting fans.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
By calling them visiting, I mean from Winnipeg, from Manitoba.
Yes. The Bruins make it 2-0 a couple minutes later. It's Trent Frederick getting the goal. It's his fifth of the year, assist to Charlie Coyle and to Craig Smith on this one. And it's 2-0. And it's, you know, this is just, you know, sort of goal front activity, you know, dirty area activity. And the Jets don't do enough to tie up sticks, and they don't do enough to prevent the Bruins from getting the opportunity and getting the puck past Connor Hellebuyck. And it's 2-0 at this point, and the Jets are really up against it after playing a horrendously bad second period where they were outshot 22-4.
Yeah, and the thing with Trent Frederick is he almost scores. He hits the post when the Jets are on the power play. So, I mean, I was telling Dave, like, you know, Trent Frederick, the Jets were making him look like Phil Esposito. Like, you know, Frederick's a good player, a big guy, you know, he's got some toughness, but yeah, I mean, all of the momentum was on the Bruins side here. And, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that the Jets weren't able to really generate anything, but you kind of got the feeling that, you know, this could have been, you know, a 3 or 4 goal period. So, I mean, the Jets, I think they were lucky to be down 2 goals after 2 periods.
It's hard to believe that they can come out that flat, Dave. I mean,
it is.
You know, that second period wasn't just, I mean, it was comical. It was, you know, how many minutes until they got their first shot and goal? It was reminiscent of the game against Vegas.
Was it 13?
Yeah, it was certainly in the latter half of the second period before they got their first shot.
They were outshot 22-4.
I know.
That's just in a game that you absolutely have to win, you cannot just take a periods off. And that's why, like I said, you know, the Jets could have, because they have some talent, gotten back in this game and gotten some points.
Sure.
But it's what we've talked about. Like, you know, when you don't play a full game and then you get rewarded, it's rewarding bad behavior. So in this situation, I mean, you're just getting dominated, and it's what Ezzy brought up before we started the segment. I mean, it's the idea of these guys. I mean, I didn't notice Scheifele until probably the second period, I think. It's when I first kind of heard Mark Scheifele, or I didn't hear him because I was in the building, but like you kind of thought about him and he shoots it wide. Kyle Connor, who never misses, he shoots it wide. Nikolaj Ehlers, he shoots it wide. I mean, maybe everybody was confused about the Derek Forbert tribute video, including Derek Forbert for the record.
I think we're going a little too far with some of the tribute videos when Derek Forbert gets one who played. I mean, yeah, they're fine. He was
just wait till the Riley Nash tribute video. Drew.
I mean, let's maybe tap the brakes on all the friendliness. You know, you can show him, the screen and people can wave.
It's unnecessary. I mean, like, you're right. They showed him in the during the anthems. I thought that would be sufficient. I mean, a guy who plays one season in Winnipeg is fine, but like, look, Perreault, fine. Bressois, fine. But like, I mean, one season is a little bit, that's why I jokingly said it's a tribute video that caught everybody by surprise, including Derek Forbert, who seemed almost like a little bit surprised that he was being featured. So maybe because he's part of the Minnesota Mafia. And so there's a reason why they wanted to keep him connected. Anywho, it's just not a good enough effort. And that's the problem. You just can't play the way the Jets did in that second period and miss those kind of opportunities with guys like Ehlers and Scheifele and Cal Connor. I mean, look, those guys have been, especially Connor and Ehlers, to it. Well, not as much as Connor, but they've been drivers. But it's just, those are the guys you need to be putting those chances home. And when they're not, I mean, look at the end result.
Yeah, and you're just sticking, you know, before we get into the Jets' couple of goals there, Drew, in the third period, like, I mean, on that play, you know, at first I wasn't really sure. It looked to me like Nate Schmidt might have been high sticked. I'm not sure if that was, you know, just a hit.
I thought it was from Logan Stanley, though. I thought
it was hard to see if it was friendly fire.
It was hard to see what was going on there, but it's almost like the Jets were distracted by that because Trent Frederick kind of just snuck behind everybody. Josh Morrissey, it was Stanley that was out Logan there with Schmidt. It looked like Stanley, you know, was just a little bit out of position. Andrew Kopp, I believe, was the forward back. And, you know, Frederick just kind of snuck behind everybody. And then, you know, he makes a nice little move, goes wide. Hellebuck, obviously, you know, he commits and, you know, he's out of position. They were calling it a wraparound. It wasn't really a wraparound.
He tucked it back in.
But, like, it was just one of those goals. Like, it was weird because, you know, we're watching it up there and asked, you know, Dump and Chase, Mike McIntyre and Jason Bell of the Free Press, like, what had happened there? We kind of didn't really know. Like, I think it was Charlie Coyle, if I'm not mistaken, right, that makes the contact.
Yeah,
I'd have to go back and look, but I think it was Coyle who makes the contact with Nate Schmidt. But I wasn't sure, like, you know, if you know that affected the play at all. It was kind of weird because it almost seemed like the Jets were just standing around. Frederick just kind of took advantage and, you know, made a nice little move and put the puck in.
If you're not going to put a body on a guy, and I know that Nate Schmidt is on the ice at this point, but I thought it was Logan Stanley's stick also. So I didn't think there was anything that, you know, for people to be upset about. But if you're not going to put a body on a guy, you can, you know, deke out a goalie like that who's a little bit aggressive in their play coming out to challenge. I mean, you know, you have to make people pay when they're right around your blue paint. And I mean,
I just watched the replay. Sorry, Drew. You're right. It was Logan Stanley's stick. Yeah. At least on the replay, it looks like it was.
Yeah, that's what I saw as well. I mean, you have to make people pay when they're in the blue paint. And the Jets didn't on this one. And they, of course, didn't on the game-winning goal by Taylor Hall because, you know, whack, 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 whack. Knock somebody down. Knock somebody down. The Jets, I mean, that was one of the worst periods that they've played in a long while since their play has improved over the last, you know, few weeks or so since they've been getting a little bit better. But that period was just inexcusably bad.
Yeah, and the thing is, Drew, like, we all know they didn't have a shot for the first, 11 minutes, 12 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, way too many minutes. It was in the second half of the second period, but there was no sustained pressure either, right? And you know, we talked about, you know, I believe it was the goalie interference. Whoever took the goalie interference penalty
there. Eric Halla took the goalie.
There you go, Eric Halla. I mean, I didn't really notice him tonight, to be honest with you, either. But, you know, the Jets, like, there was no pressure there. Like, that's to me like a key part of the game where you score a power play goal and, you know, you're lucky to be, I think they were only down a goal at that point. They might've been down two, I forget, but I mean, it was just an awful power play. And we talked about, you know, Trent Frederick, who had one of the best games of his career. It seemed like, you know, he has a shorthanded chance and just there wasn't any focus there. It just seemed like the Jets couldn't get anything going. And you're right. It kind of boggles your mind because the Jets are coming in after a very impressive game over Vegas. And, you know, I don't care if the Golden Knights are down 8 players or 9 players. They probably won't make the playoffs if Jack Eichel's out for any, you know, significant amount of time. But look, the Jets played who's in front of them. They smoked the Golden Knights. So we would have been talking about, you know, how the Jets didn't take advantage of a wounded Golden Knights team, right? So that's why I think it's so surprising.
Which is what you could say about tonight's game, because they were without Patrice Bergeron, the Bruins were. And I mean, you know, you can't even overstate how big of a loss that is for Patrice Bergeron not being in the lineup. And sure, there's a lot of other talented players on the Bruins.
Well, he's their MVP, though. Yeah.
Of course he is. But to be outshot, I mean, it's just a matter of pride. The Bruins, you know, you have to have enough pride to not get outshot 22-4 in one period, Dave M, and give up 2 goals when it was a 0-0 game after 20 and a relatively evenly played 0-0 game after 20. Where's your pride to not let that happen or to have your lull be 2 minutes, 3 minutes of the period, not, you know, 13, 14 minutes?
Well, and just not taking advantage of opportunities, right? I mean, that's, you know, the refs, I mean, you had 2 power plays for the Jets and there were how many shots on those power plays? I mean, I think the best chance came shorthanded for the Bruins, right? When put it off the post or the crossbar.
Trent Frederick,
It was Frederick, right, as he. So you're right, just before they scored, right? So it's one of those situations where if you're the Jets, I mean, you needed something to go right, and it just seemed like they were trying to be too cute, too fancy, and not dirty. And that's what we've talked about. Like, get in front of the net, create some chaos, and not every goal has to be highlight reel. Not every goal has to be a SportsCenter, you know, highlight of the night. It's it's when you're in this situation, you just can't afford it. And so when you're not playing well either, I mean, put someone in front of the net. I mean, that's
when you're not playing well, throw a body check and get yourself into it. Like you saw with Logan Stanley in the fight on Tuesday night against Vegas, do something where you add physical, you know, adding a physical element to your game tends to get the best out of players and out of a team that's struggling to do anything good. So that's why it's especially so important for them to have to do something when they weren't doing anything at all, generating anything without any sort of physical edge to their game. In any event, it's 2-0 for the Bruins after 40 minutes. Desperate times call for desperate measures, and the Winnipeg Jets come out and look like a desperate hockey team to start the third period. It ends up being Adam Lowry's goal, his 10th of the year, assist to Evgeny Svechnikov and Nate Schmidt. Beautiful play by Nate Schmidt to keep the puck in at the blue line. Beautiful play by Evgeny Svechnikov, and it's nice to see him contributing when he's not with Dubois and Connor. I thought he looked perfectly fine next to Lowry and Kopp today. He, with a beautiful toe drag, gets the shot on goal. Lowry with the tip, and it's 2-1 early in the third period. What the Jets needed to start the final 20 minutes, Ezzy.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know until now that Adam Lowry was credited with that goal. Yeah. But, you know, Evgeny Svechnikov, we've talked about it many times before. This is a guy that, you know, if he's not playing with Connor and Dubois, he's a versatile enough player that, you know, he can really help out any line. And I agree with you. I mean, I think that line, I mean, let's be honest, there wasn't any line tonight for the Jets that you could say had a you know, an A-level game, right? But, I mean, Schmidt makes just an incredible play. And we often talk about how Schmidt makes those plays and he doesn't get enough credit because they don't lead to goals. But this case, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, look at, I mean, you wonder why the desperation wasn't there throughout the entire game or even, you know, a period and a half. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a pretty simple play, but, you know, that toe drag by Svechnikov, I mean, that's just, I mean, look at, that's just a beautiful play and a nice shot.
First round talent. You know, yeah, he's got a first round talent. He was a first rounder. He has that pedigree for a reason.
Absolutely. And his brother's not bad either, right, Drew? So, I mean, you know, the Jets, I thought, you know, you just didn't see them using their speed. I have no reason, you know, I can't explain it because they look slow in the second period. Mm-hmm. And then you saw, I mean, everybody who was watching saw the Bruins were on their heels for the majority of the first half of that third period. And a lot of it had to do with the speed of the Jets forwards, right? So, I mean, really nice play by Nate Schmidt to keep that puck in, and then just nice effort by Svechnikov, and then obviously it hit Lowry. I didn't even see that on the replay. So,
I think he tipped it as
mm-hmm. what, he got a stick on it, is what it was.
I must have been too excited.
Which, by the way, shows
they're doing all these taxes, guys. You know, it's tax season, so I'm doing all these taxes. I'm getting excited.
I don't want to say Ezzy doesn't listen to me, but I was clearly speaking to him and saying, well, that gives Lowry 6 goals in his last 11 games.
Well, Dave, you have to bring out the sock puppets to really explain it to him so that he'd understand.
Yeah, the whiteboard. You got to get the whiteboard out.
Yeah. So it's 2-1 at that point early in the third period. You know, it only takes the Jets. They go bang, bang, as Dennis said. A minute and 25 seconds later, Nikolai Ehlers, his 17th of the year, assist to Kyle Connor. And Ehlers, you know, with a head of speed. And this is why his, you know, selection on the penalty shot was so peculiar, because this is Ehlers with a head of speed coming down the wing, and Linus Ullmark being on his heels and Ehlers being able to sneak the puck through him almost.
Well, I mean, what have we talked about with Nikola Ehlers? What's his number one weapon? What's his number one attribute? It's speed. And so for him, that's how he plays the game. And there's a reason why he possesses the puck so much, because he really is absolutely incredible when you watch him dancing around the zone. So you give him a little bit of time and space, he can burn you. Right. And so, I mean, I don't know what I think Dennis said. What was it? It's 8 points now for him or something like that in his last
eight since he's returned. Yes.
Right. So, I mean, he's been solid and he's been a contributor, and that's what the Jets need from Nikolai Ehlers. They need some contributions from other players on this team as well. Can't just have Ehlers and Connor driving the bus, or Adam Lowry now as well, because he's got, like I said, 6 goals in his last 11 games. He hits double digits for the first time I think it's the fourth or fifth time in his career, but, you know, he bounces back after that 5-goal season 2 years ago when everybody went, what happened to the guy who scored 15? So, look, that was the momentum swing the Jets needed, right? I mean, they were feeling good about themselves. The crowd was into it. And it was odd because if you think about it, I think what were the Jets out shooting the – they had outshot them rather significantly at that point in the third. I mean, yeah. It's funny. I can't really say that with a straight face, given that at one point in the second, Boston was out shooting the Jets 15 to nothing. So it's hard to say it was significant, given it wasn't that.
But I mean, the Jets, the way they played to start the third period is, if they had played that way, I mean, for the entirety of this game or the majority of this game, if they played that way for the majority of the season, it would be a different story altogether. They had that, you know, they needed that rocket up their behind to really get going because they knew the situation. They step on it, they get the two goals, and then I don't want to say they took their foot off of it, but almost, you know, David Pastrnak takes that hooking penalty with 7 minutes to go in the third period there, at the 7 minute mark of the third period, and the Jets aren't able to capitalize on that power play, and that was almost where.
Yeah, although I will say there were two things. One, yeah. The power play actually looked good.
They had good looks.
They had some good chances, but. Why were they still on, like, with – did they play the full 2 minutes? I think
they did play the full two minutes.
They did, yeah.
Like, because Ezzie and I were watching it, and I'm like, okay, so they started it. They played the majority. Then all of a sudden there's a whistle. And then you're like, why is the first – like, I said to Ezzie, I'm like, did we miss something? Because the first power play unit is still on with, like, 25 seconds – or not even 25 seconds to go in that power play. And I thought to myself, like, what is going on here? Like, Gattie had good looks, but they didn't convert.
Yeah, Kyle Connor was buzzing around. He had a shot on net. I mean, they were trying to find Scheifele. I mean, we've seen the Jets power play enough, guys, that we know, you know, what it looks like and what they're trying to accomplish, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, sticking with, you know, the tying goal there, I just thought that was a perfect use of, you know, what you want to do with a give and go on a kind of partial 3-on-2. Like, because Grizzlick and Carlo are good defense. Like, that's the Bruins' second pair, right? Those are good defensemen. So Carlo has to respect Dubois, right? Because Dubois obviously is a sniper as well. And that was just, I thought, a perfect give and go between Connor and Ehlers. Like, Ehlers, you could tell, identified that, you know, found that seam and uses his speed. And it was just a smart kind of, you know, little bit of deception and obviously finds the five hole. It was just Ehlers and Connor just played that perfectly, I thought.
Because the speed of Ehlers when he's at full flight puts everybody, doesn't matter who they're playing and who he's up against, it puts everybody on their heels. That's his best attribute. I mean, he knows how to use it, and that's what's so important. So he was using it in that instance, and the Jets obviously succeeded. You know, the power play, the penalty to Pastrnak, you're right, Dave. They played the entire 2 minutes for the first power play unit, which is...
And look at the chat.
You can't have that.
And look at the chat that I just put up. Like, so the 40 seconds left in the power play when that whistle happened that I thought it was 20, 25 seconds, 40 seconds, and they put him back out there. If they gave it all, I mean, in what world do you use that power play unit for a minute 20 and then you're like, okay, we're going to keep them out there? It makes no sense.
Not in a normal coaching decision world, I would suggest.
It's just very bizarre. Like I said, I like the way the unit looked. I thought they had some really good. That was probably, I thought, their best power play. I mean, personally, I can't remember one of the other ones looking better, but they didn't convert, and the other power play unit has, you know, give them a shot. I don't know. It just was very curious to me.
I would agree with you there. Then the Jets begin to get into penalty trouble on their own. And it starts with Logan Stanley taking an interference penalty, whatever, you know, I thought he was more just fighting for position on the next to the, you know, on the side of Connor Hellebuck.
Can't call that in the third period. I'm sorry.
It wasn't a penalty. It wasn't like he was interfering, I thought, to prevent a scoring chance or anything. I thought he was just battling for net front position. Well,
and the thing is, like, you know, we talked about, I forget which Bruin player you guys might remember. Maybe somebody in the chat can help us out, right? I mean,
who he knocked down, you're saying?
DeMelo. Yeah, there was the slew foot, and then there was another play. There were a couple of plays that Dennis pointed out. And then, obviously, later, like, right before the empty netter, it was Charlie Coyle on Josh Morrissey. I mean, the thing that I said to Dave is Morrissey is one of the most level-headed guys on the team, maybe in the entire league. If he's really pissed off, he has a reason to be pissed off. He doesn't get pissed off like that, right? And he obviously got the misconduct, and then I didn't even see Dubois, what he did. Apparently, he was probably swearing
at the referee. Apparently, he snowed the referee, has he?
Oh, really? Yeah, that's the refs aren't going to like that. But that's what I'm saying, Drew. And again, I feel like, you know, we're
and as just so you know, John Chan is supplying that it was Taylor Hall who sleuth-fitted DeMello.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you said John Shannon of formerly of Sportsnet. John Chan, yeah. Thank you, John. John's a frequent a viewer yes,
John and joining listener us from of Singapore, if I'm not mistaken.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, John. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing. I'm here in Winnipeg watching every single Jets game, every single period, and we need John in Singapore helping us out. Apparently, Singapore is a beautiful country, by the way. Hopefully, get to visit there one day. But when you consider, you know, you just want consistency a little bit. That's why, like, it seemed like to me there was a bit of a Jets bias in the refing. Obviously, you know, there isn't, but it just seemed like they missed a bunch of calls on the Bruins.
Look, they always miss calls. I mean, you know, so if you want to talk about the Morrissey one, if you want to, you know, skip ahead to that one, or let's talk about the game-winning goal first, which is, sure. You know, they kill off the Logan Stanley penalty. They do a very good job of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Brendan Dillon can't make this mistake. It's but a puck over totally glass.
Accidental, Drew. Like, I mean, wasn't trying to do that.
But what's his strategy? What's his approach there? The puck is rolling, and I of course he's not trying to do that. But he needs to be more level-headed with what his plan was there. He wasn't really under any pressure. I wasn't sure what he was trying to do in terms of breaking the puck out of his own zone. I think he was just looking to hit it off the glass.
It's the end of the penalty kill, and he's just trying to bank it off the glass and get it out so they can get a line change.
Well, who was trying to high stick it? I thought that was very clever. Was that Lowry?
I think it was Lowry.
I thought it was Lowry because it had to be a tall player. But the thing is, Kevin Sawyer mentioned this, or maybe it was Dennis on the broadcast. Yeah. If he gets a piece of that, it actually wouldn't have been a delay of game. So that was actually very smart to try to high stick it. He just didn't touch it.
I mean, he just didn't, you know, I just don't like Brendan Dillon's composure on that play. It's an accident. He's not trying to do that. But I just don't like, for a guy who's, you know, a veteran defenseman on your back end, I didn't think that his composure was where it needed to be when he accidentally made that play. And the Bruins, to, you know, give him enough chances, they get the power play,
Drew, number five in the league.
Taylor, what was that on the third? That was a third rebound there. I mean, I actually thought Hellebuck should have covered the puck. He had a chance to cover. He wasn't aggressive. No, he was. He wasn't. I looked. Well, no, the puck's in front of him, and I thought he could have grabbed it. But at the same time, how do you not clear the front of the net?
Well, that's right. If you're the defenseman who are on,
that was the bigger issue for sure.
It's DeMello and Stanley who are the defensemen on the ice for that PK. Hit somebody, knock somebody on their bum, especially your Logan Stanley. I mean, Nate Schmidt.
I think we're going to have to start calling you Deontay Wilder, Drew.
Well, I mean, Nate Schmidt's going on and on about he's not the Stanimal, he's the Stanimale. I'm like, shut the fuck up about whatever you're rambling about and tell the Stanimale.
The joys of no longer being on commercial radio, right, Drew?
Yeah, to knock somebody on the behind. I mean, You're 8 feet tall. That's why he was so effective on Tuesday night against Vegas.
6 foot, 7 foot, eight foot.
We're told that it was Nikolaj Ehlers who tried to do it, as he tried to
bat. Well, whatever it is, I just didn't like. I mean, again,
I know what
you're talking
thank
about.
Thank you, Yola. Why did I think it was a tall player? Ehlers isn't that tall. Okay, whatever. I mean, guys, look at. Let's just flush this show down the toilet because I've made so many mistakes. People from Singapore are having to bail me out. I got Lowry wrong. I didn't know that Lowry tipped the Svechnikov shot in. Obviously, this is just a write-off for me. You guys have been fine, though.
Let's talk about. Okay, so that ends up being the game-winning goal. I don't like the Jets' lack of physical play in front of their own net there. And then Charlie McAvoy gets it into the empty net after, you know, the Jets' entire approach with the net empty and on the power play, I might add, was bizarre.
Confusing.
It's 5-on-4. There's a minute to go in the game. A minute 20.
Yeah.
Not having Connor Hellebuyck on the bench to start the faceoff is in the Bruins zone.
Yeah.
To not have Connor Hellebuyck on the bench to begin that faceoff because you're worried the Bruins might gain possession or something doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, you have two extra players, right? Yeah. So you already have the advantage.
Which they didn't.
You know what? So. I wonder, Dave, if Adam Lowry, you know, obviously we haven't listened to Dave Lowry. We haven't listened. I wonder if he's asked about that, because that was a head scratcher for sure. I mean, the obvious reason is you want to get possession and all that.
And then you pull him. Yeah, no, I mean, we talked about it. And if they had that extra guy and they seal the wall, then they keep the puck in the Bruins' end and they have themselves a chance. And it's a 6-on-4. So even if Boston gets possession, you still have to get it through 6 Jets. Right. So, it has to be pretty clean, and you have at least 3 guys on that forecheck to get it if you don't win the faceoff.
That's
so,
right.
So, to me, I just don't, and you couldn't afford to lose this game. Like, it's not like it was like, okay, well, you know what? We've won 2 in a row. We're good. You know, Vegas won last night. LA won last night. Vancouver lost, which is whatever. But the point is, I think Nashville might have lost, right? Did Nashville lose last night? I think they did. So the point is, you couldn't afford, you need to get a streak going. This is not, we've talked about this. We've talked about this on every Saturday show. We've talked about it on all the post-game shows. You are no longer in a position to win 1 or 2 and then lose 1 or 2. You are only in a position to win. You have to, or get to extra time. And I actually said to Ezzy, with about 6 minutes to go in this game, I said, to me, it actually feels like both teams would be happy to at least get a point.
Sure, but you're playing against an Eastern Conference opponent. It doesn't matter. You're not upset if it's a 3-point game in that sense. Right. In that sense of
the ball. Bruins are locked into it.
Bruins are locked into the playoff spots. Yeah. Right? Yeah, it was just so bizarre that I don't understand what Dave Lowry was thinking there. I mean, it was a poor decision on his part. I mean, look, if it's 6-on-4, and the Bruins still are able to score in that sequence, well, you tip your hat to them and say congratulations. But the way they did it, where it's 5-on-4, and then they send Ehlers in, eventually they send him in so late to join the scrum that the Bruins end up getting it out of the zone, and then the Jets have to, you know, reset the whole extra mat, the 6-on-4 at this point doesn't end up coming to anything. They're bobbling the puck. Then the Morrissey trip. I mean, it started poorly. I think the root of their problem was Dave Lowry and that poor decision to keep Connor Hellebuck in the net on the faceoff, in that critical juncture of the game.
Yeah. Well, and just overall, like, you know, we've talked about the second period, the fact that the Jets didn't have many shots, just the game in general, the flow for the Jets, like the consistency in their execution, in their effort, in their physicality. Like we talked about it, there were some big hits thrown by, you know, Lowry, Stanley, Brendan Dillon, you know, the usual suspects, but you just didn't see it, you know, consistently throughout the game. And same thing goes for the Jets' offensive attack, right? Like I see a few people in the chat talking about, you know, Ehlers, Connor, and Dubois. Like they obviously combined for the tying goal there, but I mean, you know, and they're still trying to find, you know, chemistry. I mean, guys, Connor and Dubois have been playing the majority of the season together. And you know, these guys have chemistry. These are the three most skilled players on the team. I mean, you'd throw in, you know, Scheifele in there as well, right? But I mean, this is a super line. So yeah, the three of them haven't played together a lot this year. But I mean, there's no excuse why they couldn't muster up some more offense. I mean, I just felt like, you know, the Jets were off. Like it was just not, what you would like to see on a Friday night at home when, you know, you had an opportunity here to, you know, get closer to a wild card spot. And, you know, Dallas, to me, I'll say this again, to me, Dallas is the team that you're really chasing. I realize Vegas is in it. I realize Vancouver's in it. LA's in it, everything like that. Edmonton. I mean, I think Edmonton is third in the Pacific, if I'm not mistaken, right? But to me, Dallas is the team because of the games in hand. You got to close that gap.
Absolutely. That's the Betway game recap. Before we go to break, the final word will go to Bruins head coach Bruce Cassidy. But the game recap, of course, brought to you by our friends at Betway, one of the largest sports books in Canada. Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Here's the final quote from Bruce Cassidy. We had talked about getting to the interior against Winnipeg. They have some smaller D, a couple big ones, but some smaller ones, and statistically, they don't defend the slot that well for whatever reason.
Yeah, that was that's
very shots fired from Bruce Cassidy.
Interesting comment for sure.
That's going to go on the tombstone of the Winnipeg Jets at the end of this season, I'd say, without a second thought.
It's too morbid, Drew.
Sorry, Izzy. We'll go to break. We'll come back. More of the Jets and the Bruins. The Bruins victorious. Tough duck, hardest hitting comment. We'll preview tomorrow morning's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Stay with us. It's Friday night, shortly after 10:30. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett. The biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Minute Minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called GridPark. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The GridPark app?
Yep, spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the GridPark app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK, only on the GridPark app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Friday night, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Always pleased to see so many new faces, so many familiar faces. If you're new here, if you haven't already done so, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll get alerted each and every time we go live with the Illegal Curve post-game show. Or, for example, with tomorrow morning's Illegal Curve hockey show. 9 a.m. back here. Maybe we'll break a trade. The Jets seem to make some big trades on Saturday mornings. Maybe that'll happen again tomorrow morning. We're going to be joined by our good buddy, Scotty Billick, to talk about tonight's contest, talk about the trade deadline. And we're going to be joined by Frank Saravelli, of course. You know him as one of the preeminent hockey insiders. He's with Daily Faceoff, so Frank is going to join us as well to talk everything to do with the NHL trade deadline. So mark it in your calendar. Maybe you have a paper calendar. Maybe you have a Google calendar, whatever sort of calendar you might have. An Outlook calendar, that's also quite viable. mark it in your calendar to be sure to
join an advent calendar.
And maybe that's something completely different. I'm not sure that you would mark anything in an advent calendar, but I know you look like the kind of guy
who's tasty, though.
Yeah, you've eaten a chocolate or two out of an advent calendar, I can say.
I agree with Harvey Manuk. Shout out to Harvey Manuk. I love every single Manuk. Dave knows that. And I agree. I don't think Drew's mad enough. Like, you got to get a little bit more mad here, Drew.
I think I've been perfectly fine. I can't get...
I don't know, Drew. People are thinking you're mellow right now.
Well, I you know, I'm not... My madness, or when I become mad, it's genuine. So I don't fake it.
Like the bad thing?
Right.
No, like it comes naturally. It's an honest reaction when I get, you know, when I get a little bit of the red ass on.
Speaking of mad, Ezzy, tell, maybe you want to share the story.
Yes,
Share the story about
the back lane.
The tag team tandem of Manuk and Ginsburg almost didn't make it to Canada.
Okay, so everybody
have a brain.
Okay, but everybody that lives in Manitoba knows that this has been one of the worst winters ever. Okay, ever. I mean, the cold, the snow, everybody knows that. But now that the weather's starting to get a little better,
yeah,
it's almost gotten worse, you know, in a way, because of the back lanes here in River Heights. Whatever neighborhood you live in Winnipeg, the back lanes. I mean, so I'll just get to the you know, brass tacks here. You know, I'm pulling out, got my suit on, haven't been to a Jets game in person up in the press box in, like, I don't know, 3 months. I think December, Dave, was the last time I was up there with you. So I'm all excited. I mean, the kids are at Baba's tonight with Naomi. So, I mean, I've got a little night out here. Going to pick up, you know, Dave. I'm going to be Dave's Shabbos goy here, right? So, like, we're about to...
You want to explain what that means.
We'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. Harvey Manuk knows what I'm talking about here. That's all that matters, okay? So I'm getting all excited. It's, you know, and Dave will attest to this. Usually when I tell Dave, if it's a 7 o'clock game, and I tell Dave I'm going to be there at 6:15. Dave knows that means like 6:30, really, right? So it's 6:10. I'm feeling good. Like, I've got my wedding suit on. That's right. I'm wearing the same suit that I wore to my wedding because, like I said, only have one suit. So I'm all excited, really excited. But for those people who are not in Winnipeg, basically driving down a back lane in River Heights or any area in the city, is you're basically, you know, dealing with 4-inch, you know, frozen ruts and puddles and potholes. Like, it's ridiculous. I had to push someone out behind my kid's daycare the other day. Anyways, I'm so excited.
You know, you've cut to the chase like six times.
Go on. I was going to say, Manuk Moose minutes are shorter than this story. And I think we're both 30 seconds.
This is the Ginsburg River Heights driving minute here. Okay, boys. So I text Dave, be there in 5 minutes. I get stuck right behind my garage. And I am furious. I'm trying to gun it. I'm trying to do the Manitoba rock back, the reverse, the drive figure. So
last time you did the Manitoba rock back, you ended up with two kids.
That's good, Drew. So one of my neighbors comes out and he's like, what's happening here? So he says, put it in drive. I'll push you. You know, it's only one guy. He was a really nice guy. But it's not working. So he says, do you have any sand? Put some sand. It looks like your front tire is on ice here. So I start to put grass. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Dave is at this point is walking, you know, from his street in River Heights to my street. We're about a 10-minute walk, I would say, Dave, apart maybe. So then Dave's walking there. So I see Dave coming down the back lane. Meanwhile, my other neighbor, he's gone. He's like, okay, I can't do anything for this idiot. And then another neighbor comes out. So basically, Dave and I are in our suits trying to push my car out of the back lane. And another neighbor came out. Finally, we got my car out. And we just, you know, we got into the arena right when the anthem was being played. So, I mean, it was pretty ridiculous. But I just hope that the city starts plowing these back lanes, Drew, because, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
That's a wonderful, riveting story. I'd like to apologize on behalf of Illegal Curve Hockey to everybody in the audience for having listened to that story that ultimately had absolutely no...
You know, don't worry, everyone. We got some moose talk coming up right now, so don't worry.
We do?
Going on Smash. Oh, yeah, that's right. What do you mean? Two games?
We almost that didn't make the Jets game, Drew. That was the story.
You know, I thought the better story is if you, like, you're pushing the car out and, like, you fall into the puddle and then you have to get changed or something. That was what I was hoping the story was going to be. But in any event, before we get to the
suit pants were covered in water. I mean, if that makes you feel better.
That does help me. That does make it a little bit better that you were covered in something at least. Here you go.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Minook Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Attaboy, Drew. Let's go give the people what they want. A little Minook Moose Minute. So the Moose are kicking off they just finished a 9-game homestand, and they're starting off a 7-game road trip, which began in Abbotsford this week. They played twice already. Beginning it without Mikael Burden, he is dealing with something, and Greg Morales, who was in a yellow non-contact, so he's not playing either. He's been contributing a lot of assists in his first full season in the AHL. He's looked really good for the Moose. But they got things started in Abbotsford. If folks will remember, they were coming to Abbotsford after that Texas road trip, which was good for them. This is previously in the season, and they got demolished. Arvid Holm gave up like 8 goals in one game, 6 in another. It was not a Moose team that we're used to seeing, but they were without a lot of their players who had been up with the Jets at that point. Not so this time around, and they came out on top. Jeff Molot scored, I think, his like 6th OT winner. I mean, he's just been unbelievable as he's having a good time, as he's enjoying the comments, and he's muted, which is a good thing. Drew, let's keep Ezzy muted. That's not a bad idea right now. So the Moose were down 1-0 in that first game. CJC's tied it up to make it 1-1. And then, like I said, Jeff Molot got the OT winner. So they started off the road trip off on the right skate. And then the second game at Abbotsford was just a very bizarre game. It was 0-0 after 20. Then it was 1-0 for Abbotsford after 40. So you're thinking to yourself, and both goaltenders had played well. I think Spencer Martin was in net for Abbotsford, and Arvid Holm went back-to-back. And I was surprised they went back to Arvid Holm, but because, you know, I thought they would go with Evan Cormier, but they didn't. They went back to Arvid Holm. So all of a sudden, it's a 1-0 game. And then Ville Heinola scores on a slap shot. And you're like, okay, well, that's a pretty nice play. Now it's 1-1. Then Bobby Lynch on a beautiful pass by 2017 third rounder, Johnny Kovacevic, stretch pass. He gets it up to Bobby Lynch, who's fast. Lynch puts it upstairs 2-1. So you're like, okay, the Moose are starting to roll. This is the Moose team we're kind of used to seeing. Then the Moose are on the power play. Declan Chisholm, the 2018 fifth rounder for the Moose, or for the Jets, sorry. He scores just a gorgeous snipe upstairs. So now it's 3-1 for the Moose. And then the goal that really, if anybody's in the chat and they haven't seen this yet, you really need to go to the Illegal Curve Instagram or my own IC Dave. David Gustafson, at the end of a penalty kill, scores an absolute, just goes to show you how much core strength this guy has at like 20, 21 years of age. He's in incredible shape because he holds up. I mean, he's at the end. Someone,
are you talking about Drew or David Gustafson now?
David Gustafson. So he shows off like, and it's funny because someone said he didn't look very fast. I'm like, it's the end of the penalty kill. And he had enough wheels to get through, take the puck off the defenseman of Abbotsford, get it into the neutral zone, go use his arm and not get knocked over, and then go around Spencer Martin, put it into the back of the net. So at that point, it's 4-1. You're thinking, wow, they scored 4 goals in 5 minutes. This is kind of like what we've come – it's not really – they've not really been a quick strike offense this season too much, but still impressive nonetheless by the Manitoba Moose. And you're thinking, okay, they're really going to roll. And then all of a sudden it started to peel away. And then Abbotsford started to whittle away at that lead. Next thing you know, 3 goals in 2 minutes by Abbotsford makes it a 4-4 game. And then it's heading to overtime. So I honestly can't remember that happening. A 1-0 game after 40 minutes turned into a 7-goal third period between the two teams to send it to overtime, where Abbotsford won. A little bit controversial. The Moose weren't happy, but Abbotsford ends up winning in OT. So the Moose start the road trip with 3 points out of 4, and now they are in Iowa. They practiced they traveled to Iowa Thursday. They practiced today, and they play tomorrow and Sunday in Iowa. So the Moose are looking to get loose and keep things rolling against an Iowa team that is in their division. So we'll see if they can make some hay against the Iowa Wild in Des Moines.
There you go. There's the Minook Moose Minute for this Friday night. Thank you, Dave M., for that summary of the 2 games in Abbotsford. Ezzy, Tough Duck, hardest hitting comment, courtesy our friends at Tough Duck. Who is tonight's winner?
Yeah, we're going to give it to Al. First off, Alan L. is going to get a toque. That's a given, but it's not for his comment. We're going to give Alan L. one. So, Alan, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and give me your shipping address, because you've been a loyal IC viewer and listener. But tonight's hardest hitting comment presented by Tough Duck, we're going to give it to Keith Forsyth. You've got the comment there. Wheeler, Dubois, Svechnikov, Lowry, big physical players. The Jets need to get the puck to the net and let their beast be beast. I like that. Got to stop trying to pass the puck into the net. You know what? Like, this was a game in which you just didn't see enough physicality. You didn't see enough consistent offense. You didn't see enough sustained pressure. And I agree here. Like, you know, the Jets right now are in a position that they can, a few teams have kind of, you know, slowed down a little bit. We talked about Vegas with all the injuries. Like, Dallas for me is the team that you really have to look out for. Not only the games in hand, but they're playing really well right now, right? Like, we saw Jason Robertson pop in a hat trick recently. Just like that comment. I mean, I think, you know, you expect a certain level of physicality from the Jets. They're not the 2017-18 Jets. You saw it the other night when Logan Stanley's hit. Basically, I mean, you could tell that really, you know, turned the momentum in the Jets' favor. So I like that comment. So send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Send me your shipping address. You can also slide into my DMs, Keith, if you prefer, if you're that type of guy. And Tough Duck will send you a nice toque, even though it's getting a little warmer. I mean, you could still rock that toque for you know, a little while here.
You can rock the toque, Keith, because Ezzy couldn't rock the car. And I think that is really what sums up tonight's post-game show in a nutshell.
Nicely done, Drew. Very thank Ron you. McLean-esque there.
I'm done. Basically, a mic drop and I'm out at this point in time. As I mentioned, we'll be back tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Back here, talk about tonight's game, preview Sunday against the Blackhawks. The Jets, obviously, a week upcoming. They have Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. So five games in the next 7 days, or in the 5 games in the 7 days starting Sunday. So you won't want to miss tomorrow's show. Scotty Billick and Frank Saravelli are guests. Big thank you to our sponsors. They make the post-game show. They make the Saturday show. They make the website a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until tomorrow morning, Saturday morning at 9 a.m., a little more than 10 hours from now, we wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.